So turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1, and please stand with me if you are able to. We're going to pick up from Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Verse 5, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for this book. Thank you that we can part the pages of a new book, new letter that we call Galatians. And we ask that you would help us to know this book, help us to see what you're trying to teach, not just the churches back then, but also the church here in New York City and around the world. And your word of truth stands forever. So these principles that we'll see here, Lord, you want to speak to each and every one of us here. And Father, we ask that you please continue to be that Father of mercies, that God of all comfort. Comfort us. Some of us here are going to heal from what we're going to learn today in this chapter. Some of us are going to grow, Lord, and let go of the things of the past. Help us, Lord. But it's a holy heart work that you need to do in our hearts. Send the Comforter, your Spirit, the Helper. We need your help. We need your comfort. Help us, for we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You guys could have a seat if you would. And I'm going to ask for 2 volunteers. Got a little object lesson here. Who wants to volunteer? Anybody? Okay. Carol, want to come up? Come on up. All right. Oh, we got more than 2 that I'm wanting. That's okay. We got 2. Come on up. Come on. Let me scoot this over so you can get you guys here. All right. So, let's see. Who wants to pour and who wants to hold?
I'll hold.
All right. So we have oil and we have water. Are they going to mix?
No.
Don't try this at home. All right. So he's going to pour some in. Just a little bit. I'll tell you when to stop. Okay. It's olive oil. Oh, come on. More. Come on. Come on. Come on. More. 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 A little more. A little more. A little more. A little more. Don't spill on the lady, right? Okay, that's probably good enough. Gracias. Okay, don't go away yet. So we have oil. How do you say oil?
Oil.
Oil in Espanol, okay.
Aceite in Espanol. Aceite.
Aceite?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Still trying. I'm trying to learn Spanish. All right, so he's going to pour some water in. Not on you, though, right, Carol? All right. So it's not baptism day for you. All right, so you're going to pour the water in. And what do you think? Are they going to mix? No, so you've done this before. Go ahead, you can pour the whole thing. Just don't spill. Don't spill on Carol, right? Okay, and now with the rest of it. Okay, wait. No, no, no. Now with the rest of it, splash it on Carol. No, just kidding. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, go pour the rest in. So today's not baptism day. Okay. All right. So we have oil and water. Now, you want to cap it on tightly, and tissues in case it spills. Is it on tightly?
No, it's good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay, shake it up a little bit. Not crazy, but all right. So what do you guys think? Is it going to stay? Okay, so who's time? We've got like 30 minutes. Go ahead, keep shaking. You can do that for 30 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kidding. All right, so that's good. And then we'll leave it here. You can show it to the audience. What do you think? Is it going to stay?
No.
All right, you can put it down. Give them a hand. Thank you. You guys can have a seat. Thank you. All right, well, let it sit here. You guys can watch it. In about a minute, it's going to do what? Is it going to stay mixed? It's oil and water. Now, the reason why I want to show you this is because oil and water, it's an object lesson here, but just like the gospel of grace, which is today's title for our message, like the gospel of grace, the gospel and works cannot mix. You can try, but they can't stay mixed. You could even see, look at that, it's starting to separate, right? So think of that. Oil and water, You could shake it up, you can try to stir it up, you try to mix it together. Over a short period of time, it's just going to separate. They're both mutually exclusive, just like the gospel of grace and our works. They're going to remain separate. Because the gospel of grace cannot be mixed with works, Paul wrote this one little book. We call it a letter. What's the name of this letter? Galatians. So hopefully you'll remember it for something like this. Or you go home and you go in your kitchen, try to mix oil and water. They don't mix. Not well. But the gospel of grace cannot be mixed with works. And Paul had to address this in this book that you and I call Galatians. So Paul wrote this letter, and I'm showing you on a map. Here's the map. Paul wrote this letter to the Galatian region. Now, Galatia wasn't a church name. You see a bunch of dots there. By the way, we're going to be in some of the books here that we put in red. We're going to soon be in a book after Galatians. Which is that? Ephesians. So you see Ephesus there, then Philippi. Okay, we'll be in Philippians. Then we'll be in Colossians. You see Colossae. And then we'll be in Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So I want you to see on a map where that is. Jerusalem's way down here, Egypt, yeah, here. And so you can imagine Africa's here. What do we call that region today that we called back then Galatia? Turkey. Very good. Okay, so that region today is called Turkey, that whole large area. So this is the region that Paul is writing to. Again, Galatia was a region. It wasn't a city. Chapter 4 in this book, verse 8, tells us that the people in this area, they were pagan. They didn't know the God of the Bible, and they were serving false gods. You can imagine they're probably praying to statues, and you look at that and go, that's so silly. You're praying to this dumb rock, this piece of metal. But that's who they were. That's how they were. They were serving false gods. And then Paul comes to them. Paul's the apostle to the Gentiles. He comes to these people that are pagan. They're worshiping these rocks and pieces of metal. That these are false gods. They're not real gods. And he's preaching to them this salvation because of Jesus. A gospel of grace. That no matter what we have done, no matter how many sins, Jesus Christ paid the price. He died on the cross for your sins and mine, as well as the people there in Galatia. So he preached the good news that eternal salvation is by the grace of God through faith in the work of Jesus Christ dying on a cross, and he poured out his blood as payment for our sins, yours and mine and the people of Galatia. And then what? And then Jesus resurrected. That's the gospel of grace. But because these Galatians were Gentiles, they didn't know anything about something that you and I call Judaism. So picture this. Imagine we're the people in this Galatian region. Let's say we all grew up worshiping, I don't know, Buddha. Okay, these dumb statues, a little fat guy on a rock. Okay, he's always happy, right? Why? Cause maybe he just ate a bunch of Chinese food. He's like, oh, I'm full. Chinese food is good. But imagine now Paul the Apostle comes in. He's preaching the good news of salvation to you and I. He leaves after preaching to you and I this gospel of grace that we get eternal salvation, we get saved from the fires of hell, we get entrance into heaven because of Christ Jesus, him crucified, him resurrected, he poured out his blood, he paid for my sin. Now, who wants that? I want that. Wow, praise God for that. And then Paul leaves, and after he leaves, some false teachers come in. We call them Judaizers, people that try to bring people back up into or under the law, under Judaism. But we're Gentiles. And these people come in and they say, got some good news and bad news for you. Ladies, good news. You're saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And we can say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. 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 Got some bad news for you, fellas. Snip, snip. You're going to get eternal salvation, but it's going to cost you. It's going to hurt. Big time. Circumcision. Who wants to sign up for circumcision? We don't have a list for that, by the way. don't raise your hand. So that's bad news. So after Paul left, these Judaizers came in, false teachers, that were trying to tell them, you can get saved. It's the grace of God through Jesus dying on the cross. Imagine the cross plus circumcision. equals salvation. No bueno, right? How many of you guys, you men, would want to sign up for that? It's like, no way. No way. So they try to mix the laws of Judaism with the gospel. But just like oil and water, look at it now. They don't mix. They can't mix. Okay? So the gospel of grace cannot be mixed with man-made works. And the Judaizers were preaching a false gospel, and they're trying to teach the Christians that have received salvation through Jesus Christ, through Paul's preaching in the Galatian region. They came in after Paul left, and they're saying, hey, you men, in order for you to be saved and stay saved, snip, snip. And that would obviously cause confusion, right? Just like you and me, we wouldn't want to sign up for that, right? So these people are like, what do we do? So Paul has to write this letter because they added one thing. Let that seep in. They added one thing that's a man-made work that they had to do in order to be saved. One thing. Now, you and I could think of a lot of cult groups, a lot of denominations perhaps, or abominations that try to add not just one thing, but many things to the grace of God, many things to the cross of Christ. And this is the chapter, this is the lesson, God willing, that God's going to reveal what we should do with that. But this is the reason why Paul wrote this book. Let's go to verse 6 and on. Let's read this here. Paul says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you. How many of you men would be troubled if someone came in and says, you can have eternal salvation, but snip, snip. You'd be troubled, right? It's like, but I'm on my deathbed. Too bad. Snip, snip before you die. He's dead. Okay, resuscitate him because we got to snip, snip before he dies. You'd be troubled. But he says here, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to, look at this word, pervert the gospel of Christ. So as you and I get into this book, we need to define a few words for our journey here. I don't want to assume that you already know. This word gospel, if you think of the word, how many here have heard the word evangelize, evangelism? This is basically the root of that word. If you look at the Greek word transliterated into English characters, it looks like the word evangelize or evangelism. This is the word for gospel. It literally means good news. Good news. Fellas, is it good news if you get salvation, but you have to snip, snip? Your wife might sit there and say, yeah, not so bad, honey. Come on. Take one for the team. No, that's not good news. So the bad news. Here's the bad news. You got to know bad news before good news. Amen? And once you know bad news, according to the Bible, then you'd be much more apt to receive good news. Bad news. All of us have sinned. All of us have turned away from God. Romans chapter 3 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3 verse 23. And it goes on in Romans 3 in verse 10 and 11 to say, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not even one person? No, not one. There is none who understands. Nobody understands. There is none who seeks after God. Nobody seeks God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. So that's what God tells us in Romans chapter 3. All of us have sinned. Nobody seeks God. Everybody is turned aside. Nobody understands. There's nobody righteous. There's nobody that does good. Not even one. Except for who? Except for Jesus. All right, so it's further bad news. Why? Because hell is real. Hell's a place of nonstop conscious pain, burning, and suffering. You guys remember the story in Luke 16, the rich man being tormented? And Jesus describes hell in Matthew 8, verse 12, as a place where sinners, quote, will be cast out into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you ever had a sleepless night where you're crying so much, you cry yourself to sleep, imagine it's constantly like that, nonstop. Conscious, so you're alert, pain, torment, suffering. It's bad news because if a person doesn't repent away from their sins and have a new life through Jesus Christ, they're going to die and burn in hell. That's bad news. Jesus said in Mark 2, verse 17, Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You got to repent. You got to turn away from your sins because he wants to give you and I a new life. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's what Jesus said in Luke's gospel. And Peter preached in Acts 3, verse 19, repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So the bad news is all of us are sinners. There's not even one holy, pure, perfect person besides Jesus. All of us are born into sin in this fallen world. There's nobody that seeks God, nobody that does good, nobody that understands. So this is the book, too, that we'll learn later on. It was part of the pages here of Scripture where God's going to use Paul to teach you and I, hey, the law was our tutor, our schoolmaster, to lead us to Christ. Why? Because all I could realize is I'm just in sin. I'm a sinner, and I have to fall upon the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. That Jesus paid the price. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I cannot pay for my sins. I can't get myself out of hell, and I cannot buy my way into heaven. There is no stairway to heaven. I'm sorry. If you listen to that song, I used to be a DJ. I might quote some lyrics time to time. There is only that highway to hell. There is no stairway to heaven. But the gospel now is good news because God loves you and me, and he gave his only begotten son, Yeshua, or Jesus, the Messiah, he gave him as a sacrifice, okay? So God's grace is a giving love. It's a giving type of grace. You couldn't even ask him for it. While we were still in our sin, Christ Jesus died for us. So the grace of God is shown through Jesus Christ is that God loves you. God had mercy. God had grace. Still does. And you and I, all we could do is sin, and all we could do is either believe and receive or just reject, okay? And God's heart is that none should perish. He wants you and I to believe and receive salvation, but you cannot do a single thing to get yourself saved. Amen? Thumbs up if that makes sense to someone here. That's the grace of God. So as we go on, this gospel, this good news, it's good news because you don't have to pay for your sin. Fellas, whether it's snip, snip, or any other physical work, you cannot do a single thing to get yourself saved. He did all the work and even died on the cross that it is finished. Okay? He and only he, only Jesus could do the work. So the gospel is good news because you could never do any works to be seen as righteous or holy or pure or perfect or accepted. You could do nothing but what? Sin. That was our identity. Sinners do what? Sinners sin. Our identity now, through receiving Jesus Christ as gospel of grace, now he considers you holy. It's like, what do we do to earn that? Nothing. Okay. So we have to identify this and translate this a little bit for you. Okay. Gospel. The gospel is good news. Here's what Jesus said in John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the only way that you can get saved and have entrance into heaven is through Jesus Christ. Thumbs up if someone here understands that. It's not because of circumcision. It's not because of giving. It's not because of going. It's not because I read the Bible so much, so I deserve heaven. No, and there's no pearly gates in heaven as society might throw that out there. I'm going to beg Peter at the pearly gates. No, you are saved only because of the righteous work of Jesus Christ. All you and I could do is sin. And all we could do is confess our sin, turn away, receive his grace, his love, his forgiveness, his mercy shown through Jesus Christ at the cross. And you and I are saved because of him, not because of you or me. Okay? You are saved because of Jesus. And then in this chapter, or chapter 2, in this book, Paul identifies with the cross of Christ, and he says in Galatians 2, verse 20, you guys know this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So anybody that tries to do one work through God's law to get saved, to be accepted, to be righteous, to be whatever in God's eyes, even if it's just one, whether circumcision or upholding the Sabbath or upholding the dietary laws in Leviticus, you and I, if we break one law, we're guilty of what? All of them! And there's 613 laws! Think about that. You and I, game over from birth. Why? Because we're sinners. There's no way that you and I could uphold or maintain or do these 613 laws. Not even 10 commandments, which is Exodus 20. You and I broke all 10 commandments. But on top of that, there's 613 laws. Modern Judaism is an abomination. This is the chapter. This is why I want you guys to understand this and let this seep in, because this might help someone here, if not all of us, to heal and to grow. So this is the gospel that Paul preached to the Galatians. And they try to add one thing. Snip, snip, circumcision. And Paul had to write this six-chapter book, this letter, we call it, Galatians. So some of us came out of a background, a fake church or an abomination, or what the Bible calls anathema, something accursed, something destined for destruction. We'll get into that in a little bit. If that was the case, some of you came out of churches and groups, and fake churches, let's just say, that it wasn't just one thing they try to force you to do, but maybe many things, or seven sacraments. That is an abomination. This is the one book, and this is the chapter that's going to teach us these things. So you and I got to understand this. And we have to understand and define a little bit about this word grace. So again, verse 6, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you into the, notice he says, the grace of Christ, to a different gospel. Grace is an unmerited favor. Unmerited. You cannot work for grace. You cannot deserve grace. You just get grace. Why? Because that's the character and nature of God. He's a gracious God. Praise God, too, by the way. He could have been a mean, cruel, evil God, like money, or like Pharaoh, or like any of the people in politics today. But this God that we know and love, the God of the Bible, he's a God of grace. So grace is unmerited favor. You can't work for grace. By the way, if you have to work for grace, is it grace? No. So you cannot add a single thing to the grace of God shown through Jesus Christ. It's not the cross plus circumcision equals salvation. It's not the grace of God plus circumcision. It's not baptism plus the cross of Christ. There is no single thing that you can do to earn your salvation, or else grace is no longer grace. Make sense? Thumbs up if that makes sense to someone. So this is the book. So pay attention to this, please. You can't work for grace. That's why grace is unmerited favor. Why does he favor you? Why does he give you grace? Why does he send his son? Because he loves you. You and I didn't deserve it. Well, if you're like me, just thumbing your nose at God, and you said his name, but you used it in vain. And running away from God. That's how I was. And yet, while still in our sin, Christ Jesus died for us. That doesn't make sense, right? So in our humanistic understanding, we try to take these things of God, even the grace of God, and we try to make it comprehensible in our own humanity, and it never works, does it? You cannot do that with the grace of God. So all you and I could do is either receive God's grace for salvation, turn from your sins, he's going to give you a new life, or you reject the grace of God for salvation by staying in your sin, and you're not receiving a new life nor walking in that new life. There's only two paths that every single human being is going to take. And most are headed on that broad way that leads to destruction. I know Manhattan, I used to work on Broadway. I'm like, God, do you really want me to work at this building? Because it's on Broadway. Narrow is that path that leads to eternal life, though. And few there are that find that. Paul writes here in verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Do you know that when God calls you and saves you, he calls you in the grace of Christ. He's not looking at you and going, you know, that's a really good worker. I need some employees. You're really good at typing. You're really good at this. You're good at numbers. I'm going to save you because of mathematics. I'm going to say because you're such a good person. Oh, I really like his smile. I like her smile. Yeah, why don't you come into heaven? You're saved in the grace of Christ. In the grace of Christ. All you can do is say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That's it. Salvation is truly, quote, in the grace of Christ. So Paul says he marvels. This word also means astonished. He's like, what are you doing? How could you add circumcision or any other work to the grace of God through Jesus Christ? It doesn't make sense, right? Either believe and receive this, the best gift that's ever going to happen in all eternity. Not just your lifetime, all eternity. Either believe and receive salvation through Jesus, or you develop your own religion. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So he's marveling. He's like, you turn away from the gospel of grace, basically, to a different gospel. So Paul's saying that when you have this total, this complete salvation through the finished work of Jesus Christ, why were you trying to change your path for salvation from Jesus to yourself? Please see this, because this might help someone here. I'm hoping and praying. I know there's more than one of you here. We prayed for that God would bring you in, and he brought you in. Amen? That some of you need to heal, maybe from bad teachings, bad doctrines, from fake churches. That they're, Paul's calling them out here. God is. And it's only one thing they added. Imagine there's so many churches today because there's no check and balance system. If God was that serious with the churches in Galatia, that he had Paul write this sixth chapter book for one thing, imagine there's so many churches out there. Actually, it's easier to find a fake church in this area than one that's actually just going to teach the Bible and point you to Jesus. I'm not saying we're better. We just want to be biblical. Okay, and that's where it matters. So as we learn the Bible, Paul's saying here, it's like, why would you change your path from salvation, from Jesus to yourself? It's like, it doesn't work. You have to just receive it. So what happened is the Judaizers back then, they wanted to, look at this in verse 7, they tried to, and look at the words he used here, they tried to pervert the gospel of Christ. It's like, why would you do that? I'm astonished. Why would you try to go to this thing that's perverted instead of sticking with the purity and the simplicity of the gospel of grace shown through Jesus Christ? So these Judaizers, they try to pervert. This word also means corrupt. And there's a lot of corruption today in the church overall. This is our family. And we have to have a family discussion. Amen? Okay? We want to clean things up. We're responsible for this church, this local church, but we need to help you to get healed so you have clarity so that you can go out and preach the gospel around the world, wherever God has you. So the Judaizers tried to pervert or corrupt the gospel of Christ by adding one work to the grace of God. And what was that? Fellas, snip, snip. Snip, snip. Again, it might not be much for you ladies. Like, yeah, no big deal. Yeah, send the husband off. Who cares? You're a guy. Take one for the team. But they try to add one thing, circumcision. By the way, false teachers back then as well as today, okay, they're telling the people back then that in order to be righteous in God's eyes or to be accepted, listen to the terminology, some of you need healing because you came out of a background of legalism where you didn't feel good enough or worthy enough, or you have to do more, give more, go more. It's all on you. That's not the Bible, and that's not the grace of God. The grace of God is all about what God did for you. The Bible starts with God, and it's salvation through Jesus Christ, John 3, verse 16. God so loved the world. It's his love for you, not what you can do for him. Legalism and legalistic churches will say, you have to attain your salvation and you maintain your salvation. And by the way, that's old covenant living. And that's how it was even in current Judaism right now. Everything except for born-again Christianity through the Bible is about how a person can be holy or pure or accepted in God's eyes. And it's all about who you can be and what you can do. So on these things alone, as we're going to learn here in chapter 1, my hope and prayer, and I believe it's God's hope for you, this is probably more than half of you, need a healing and cleansing from what we're learning here. So if you ever grew up in Maybe it was a teacher, maybe your parents, maybe bad church, denomination, abomination, try to force you into some kind of unholy structure where you're not good enough unless you do more. I'll tell you, that's called legalism. That's not the agape love of God. That's not the Bible. That's man-made doctrine. And you need to be healed and delivered from that. Okay? Hopefully that's someone here who's listening, because we pray that God would bring you in. If you add one work to the grace of God, grace is no longer grace. So it's not the cross plus your work equals salvation. It's not the cross plus circumcision equals salvation. It's not the cross plus keeping the Sabbath, not working on Saturday, or going and attending church fellowship on Saturday. That can't make you holy. That's not going to pay for your sin. And there's a lot of people that hold to that. This is, if you're fellowshipping on Saturday, that's fine. But if you think that's how you're going to be accepted by God, or pure or perfect or holy or righteous, that's just as bad as circumcision. And this is the book that's going to rebuke that. And we're going to learn in a couple of verses what God thinks about that. That's called religion. And that can't make you holy. Only the work of Jesus Christ makes you holy. Amen? Thumbs up if this is making sense to someone here. Okay, so please learn this, because we need to heal people that have gone through terrible, horrible things. So religion is man's attempts to be righteous before God. But Jesus Christ died to give you and I a close relationship with the Heavenly Father. The Bible teaches that God loves us and he sent his son to you. Religion is man's attempt to be holy. By the way, that's the attempt, that's the path that cults use. Okay, anybody hear of Mormonism? Right, Jehovah's Witnesses. They used to have their world headquarters here. Their problem is their Jesus, the genesis of their Jesus, was a man, and he worked his way up to become God. So no wonder why they force millions of people around the world to do good works, to get saved, and to maintain salvation. It's topsy-turvy. It starts with man, and then they become God. Fake. It's what the Bible says is accursed or anathema. Okay. So Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, he says, by grace you've been saved, in verse 5. And raised us up together. God raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And listen to this, verse 8. Many of you know this. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So guys, back then it was these Judaizers who were perverting the gospel of Christ. But today there's many cults, there's many groups that are also perverting the gospel of Christ. And my guess is more than half of you have been infected by that, to the point where you don't know the difference between born-again Christianity just by the Bible and this abomination you had as baggage in your background. And this is one of those chapters that, God willing, his Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is going to lead you through the Word of truth, so you could have the truth of God's Word, so you have clarity, and then you could have closure. That's typically the process. Truth, clarity, closure, so you can get what? You can get healed. So anybody that says you have to do a work to be accepted or to be righteous in God's eyes, they're perverting the gospel of Christ. This is the book that teaches you that. So let that seep in. And think of maybe the background you came from before God brought you into a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. You may have been part of something that the Bible would declare as accursed. And we're going to get to that in a couple of verses. Anathema is the Greek word. Or some would call a cult in apologetics. It's not born-again Christianity. In other words, those people are going to die and they're going to burn in hell. And it'll be worse for them because they'll have their memories. They'll be consciously aware in torment and pain and go, I thought I was saved. But they're not. So we got to know the difference. So the Mormon Church, Jehovah's Witnesses, even the Roman Catholic Church, They're perverting the gospel of Christ and can't get anybody saved. Who here came out of a background like that? Or you've been to a church like that? Praise God that he saved you and rescued you out of that. They're perverting the gospel of Christ. So those groups would teach that good works will get a person saved. But that's a lie. That's not truth. And it's what? It's perverting the gospel of Christ. Good works don't get you saved. Good works are for the saved. Hopefully that sinks in. Good works don't get you saved. Good works are for the saved. So this also means anybody that says you have to be baptized in order to be saved, that is perverting the gospel of Christ. Some of you may have come out of a group like that. Has anybody heard of that? You got to be water baptized in order to be saved. I knew a guy that when I was in Calvary Chapel Bible College in California, he came to us, his background, he's a friend of mine, he's now gone off to be with the Lord. He's a big guy. He used to be on the Rams, LA Rams. And he came out of a Lutheran church. He came to us in the Bible College, he's never been taught the Bible. And we would discuss with him. He learned, like, wow, the Bible actually says I don't have to be baptized to be saved. And he realized the church he came out of, yes, it was a Lutheran church. It was basically a cult. He's like, I can't stay there anymore because that thing's a part of a lie and they're forcing people to get water baptized because they have to do a work to be saved. That's anathema. That's perverting the gospel. And so he had to come out of that. And I was one of the guys that I had to call the pastor and talk with them to do church-to-church relations. Like, no, we're not stealing sheep. It's just, you know, he's come to knowledge of the truth and he realized this is probably where God's leading him. So there's many pseudo-Christian groups today. Here's a list of them. Ready? The Roman Catholic Church. Some Churches of Christ groups. They'll force people to get baptized. Why? Because they think that's how you get physically baptized to get eternally saved. Some Lutherans, like my friend that came out of that. Some Eastern Orthodox churches, Anglicans, Episcopalians, some Pentecostal groups. And some others, they'll teach that water baptism is a must in order to be eternally saved. Guess what? That is perverting the gospel. That's what the Bible calls anathema, something destined, devoted for destruction. Okay, that's false teaching. That's being a false prophet, a false teacher. And that's perverting the gospel. So if the work of circumcision, just one thing, couldn't be added to the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace, we cannot add all these other things. Make sense? Thumbs up if this is making sense for someone here. So hopefully this is going to help you and I. You got to be schooled, a little bit educated in what we call apologetics. Okay? So you got to know the difference between a Christian and a cult. All right. Modern Judaism today. How about modern Judaism? Again, how many laws are there? 613. So Paul's picking on just one. And by the way, the Bible says if you break one law, you're guilty of what? All of them. All of them. So whether it's, you know, keeping the Sabbath or the Levitical dietary laws. I grew up with a guy that grew up in a Seventh-day Adventist church. He's always joking around. Give me some shrimp. He's like, ah. He's an SDA. They're not supposed to eat shrimp, right? He's like, oh, I love shrimp. I'm like, you're not supposed to be eating that. It's like, what a backslidden SDA. But that's not going to make someone holy, right? Think about that. Only the gospel of grace, only salvation through Jesus Christ. But modern salvation through, or modern Judaism today, is works-based. Everything else but biblical Christianity, salvation through Jesus Christ alone, everything is a works-based system. What about atheists? Atheists have a God. Who's their God? Self. Think about that. Everybody's got a God. Everybody worships and serves someone or something. So it's only the work of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and shedding his blood for our sins. That's the only way that you and I can be saved. Cult groups.